Good morning. Today's daf and yomah ayin gimel. We're on ayin beis amud beis. We are four lines from the bottom. I'm going to go one more above that. We're going to start up ma'isa roka ma'isa choshev. Sorry, 5 lines from the bottom. Gemara wrapping up the avodas yom kippurim. A mishnah that we saw yesterday, 2 days ago, in ayin aleph amud beis, detailing the basic differences between a kohen hedger, kohen gadol, in terms of the begadim that they wear. Obviously, this is coming off the heels of almost an entire mesechta, talking about a Kohen Gadol and the responsibilities of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur. So the mission over here gives us some very basic information regarding Dal Begadim worn by Kohen Hedger and the Shmona Begadim worn by Kohen Gadol. While we were there, we were also discussing various drushas regarding the stitching, the weaving, the loom, the threads, the thread count. So a lot of details regarding the Big Day Kahuna and also the Baroches. Okay, so a lot of loose ends, with pun intended. A lot of loose ends that are covered over here at the end of the 7th parak. Yemir Hashem, this morning we're going to be able to conclude the 7th parak of the Masechta, and we'll have the schus of starting the 8th parak. Let's continue. Maisa Roke, Maisa Choshev. So you'll see a couple terms described describing the embroidery of the parochas and the Beis HaMikdash. It's described as Maisa Rokeh. Sometimes it's described as Maisa Choshev. So how do we understand those words? So I'm Rabbi Lazar. The Gemara is going to give a couple of pshatim. One, that by Rabbi Lazar, Shirokmim B'makum Shechoshvim. So you do Rikima in the same place that you do Chashiva. Okay, that's helpful. We need more help. So Rashi over here, right? Shirokmim B'makum Shechoshvim. B'tchila, Misakin Hatsura Al HaBeged Ayidei Tzeva. So in terms of embroidery, so basically what you're going to do is that first you're going to paint whatever image you want on the cloth, v'achar kach rokma b'machat, and then you embroider. Okay, so good. That's first step. Okay, I trust you because I don't know. Okay, so that's one pshat offered by the Gemara. Or Gemara offers a second pshat. The Tana we learned in Abraisa, Mishmed Rabbi Nechemia, Roke Maisa Macha, Lefichach, Partsuf Echad, and Choshev Maisa Oreg, Lefichach, Shnei Partsufos. So when you see the term Rokeim, so that is something that is done through a needle. I'll call it needle point. So therefore, Partsuf Echad, it basically goes all the way through. So whatever image you're going to see on one side, you're going to see the same image on the other side. However, when it comes to Choshev, it's Maisa Oreg. So Choshev is where it is woven, and Lefichach Shnei Partsufos, Rashi explains, that in the weaving process, so basically what you could do is you could weave on one side. Again, I'm not fully understanding what's going on over here in terms of embroidery, in terms of one side versus two sides, but Rashi writes that if it's this latter form, if it's Maisa Choshev, so that means to say that you can embroider two different images on two different sides. So the stitching basically is done on each side in this form of embroiderment. Okay, good. A good part of today's daf is going to be the asking of the Urim V'Tumim. That also came up in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that once the Kohen Gadol now is donned in his full Shmona Begadim, so now what you can do is Nishalim B'Urim V'Tumim. You can ask the question of the Urim V'Tumim. Now, what is the Urim V'Tumim? So it is one of the more interesting parts of the Big Day Kahuna, and that is the mystery of the Urim V'Tumim. It's not totally clear what it is, meaning that the Torah goes through detail, very clear detail, in terms of what each of the articles of the clothing is. The Torah gives description. We saw yesterday the Mishnahs give description of each of these 8 articles, and then in the Choshen, inserted into the Choshen is the Urim V'Tumim. From the Torah, that's it. That's the total amount of description we get regarding the Urim V'Tumim. From the Mishnah, that's also about it. We're not going to get much of a description of what the Urim V'Tumim is. So I've said this yesterday. I know I probably said this many times before. So it's the battery pack, meaning I'm saying that b'derech mashal, just by way of analogy. It's basically what powers up the Choshen. So, but that's lovely. It's an analogy. It's not giving a description of what it actually is. Rashi and Chumash brings down that it is a parchment in which Shem Hashem is written and it's inserted into the fold of the Choshen. Okay. Again, not perfectly clear. Good. But everyone's familiar with it and it's going to be very hard for people to articulate what it actually is. Okay, fine. Anyway, but once the Big Day Kahuna are powered up, So now what you can do is you can ask. You can ask a question of from the Urim V'Tumim, and the letters on the Choshen are going to light up. We're going to see that in just a moment. And so you basically are going to be able to receive divine answers. In other words, you have an opportunity to ask directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and receive a pretty direct answer. Okay, and you'll see why I'm hedging a little bit in terms of the answer. Okay, so before we get to the actual procedure of the Urim V'Tumim, the Gemara now is going to have the following discussion, and that is the begadim worn by the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. Okay, so in terms of rankings of Kohens, so up until now, it's been pretty simple. There's all other Kohanim, they're called Kohen Hedjot, and then, of course, there's a Kohen Gadol. Good. That's basically been the ranking system. Well, that's not true. We've also been introduced earlier in the Masechta to the Skan Kohen Gadol. So there is a deputy Kohen Gadol, where in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so the Skan's going to take over. So we saw that as a rank. And again, that's pretty much it. So over the course of today's daf, we're going to be introduced to two other ranked Kohanim. So one of them is a Kohen She'avar, which means that he served as a Kohen Gadol, but only temporarily. And then when the original Kohen Gadol came back in, so he is now a past Kohen Gadol. Yeah, it's a lifetime position.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, and then the other one is the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. So he is the chief chaplain of the army. So
he doesn't have to be a Kohen, right?
He has to be a Kohen. Kohen Meshuach Melchama. Not only does he have to be a Kohen, as we're gonna see right now, he may have something on par with the Kohen Gadol in terms of his status. Okay, good. So the Gemara now is going to be discussing the nature of the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. So we're introduced to him in the Torah and Parsha Shoftim when we go out to war. So he is there going to encourage the troops prior to military battle. Good. So that is the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. So we know he's a ranked Kohen after that point in time. What exactly is his ranking? So the Gemara is going to be discussing it for a good part of today's daf, most of Amud Aleph. And then we'll get to the She'ela of the Urim V'Tumim. And then we finish the, then we finish the Perek. Well, first and foremost, how many begadim does he wear? In other words, does he wear the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, or does he wear the begadim of the Kohen Hedjo? Which is going to be the Gemara's first discussion. Okay? Kiyasar Rav Dimi Amar, begadim she'Kohen Gadol meshamish b'hem, meshuach mechama meshamish b'hem. So, according to Rav Dimi, okay, now, if those of you who've been with us long enough, you know. So it's going to be like this. Rav Dimi's going to have an opinion. Gemara's going to spend a good amount of time discussing Rav Dimi's opinion. And then Ravin's going to come in and he's going to say something different. Okay, that's generally speaking how the Gemara is formatted. Generally speaking, they're quoting Rav Yochanan. It's interesting over here, Rav Dimi does not actually quote Rav Yochanan. But as the Gemara later on will point out, he got it from Rav Yochanan. Meaning this was his version of Rav Yochanan, and Ravin later on is going to give a slightly different version of Rav Yochanan, because that's generally speaking how it works. They're Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, they shuttle back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and so each one of them is presenting an opinion that they heard back in Eretz Yisrael. Typically, they were learning by Rav Yochanan, so they're quoting Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says that when Rav Dimi comes in, so he says that the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Shmona Begadim, and so is the Meshuach Melchama. So when he does avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so he's wearing the begadim of the Shmona Begadim. He's wearing the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So, right, which, again, before today's daf, hopefully I remember this from 7.5 years ago, but I never would have guessed that, meaning I would have said that the begadim of the Kohen Gadol is exclusive to the Kohen Gadol. Who else is wearing it? Right, I would have told you nobody. Meanwhile, Rav Dimi espouses a viewpoint that the Meshuach Melchama is also wearing the Shmona Begadim when he's doing the Avoda. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Uvigdei Kodesh Asher La'aron Yulav Anav Acharav Lemisha Ba Begdula Acharav." So the Bigdei Kodesh that is to Aaron and to his sons, and the Gemara Darshan said, whoever is going to be passing on the position from father to son, so he's going to be wearing such Begadim. And the Gemara now is suggesting that this is not only limited to the Kohen Gadol. And this is also going to be true to the Kohen Meshuach Melchama as well. Okay. Now, the idea that the position of Kohen Gadol is an inherited position, is that correct?
So interestingly enough, and we're going to see this right now in the Gemara. It is a now to say it's an inherited position, meaning it's not like firstborn, where that position of being the firstborn and therefore being entitled to the double portion, that is totally irrespective of how good a firstborn you are or how not good a firstborn you are. In fact, the Torah makes this point really clear, right? In the beginning of Parshas Ki Tsetse, the Torah says, I don't care that he's the firstborn from one of your wives that you don't particularly like, right? I know it's exactly how the Torah phrases it. So when it comes to the firstborn, he's your firstborn, like it or not. But when it comes to the passing on of the position from Kohen Gadol to his son, so it's not like that. Basically, it is he gets first option to become the Kohen Gadol, but he has to be Rai Lakach. He has to be somebody who's appropriate for that position. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so that's true regarding the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara is right now suggesting that it's also true for the Kohen Meshuch Machama as well. And so since they both share that quality, therefore, when doing the Avodah, they have to wear the big the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, of the Shmona Begadim. So the Gemara says, really, Mesiv Rav Ada Rava V'Amri LaKedi. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, as we are now in the last line of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Yachol Yehei B'Nosho Meshuch Mechama Misham Meshachtav K'derech Sh'B'Nosho Kohen Gadol Misham Meshachtav. So here the Braisa says clearly, look, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that just like by Kohen Gadol, it's passed on from father to son, so too by Kohen Meshuch Mechama, it's also going to be passed on from father to son. That's the Havamin of the Braisa. But then as we turn to the top of Ayin Gimel Medal, Tzama Lomar, Shivas Yomim Yil B'Shem HaKohen Tachtav Mi Banav Asher Yavo Lo Moed. So we have a Pasuk in terms of the Miluim, 7 days inauguration, in which the Kohen now is going to be passing on to the next generation. But that means to say, obviously, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. So, Mi Shirai Lavo El Ol Moed, and that only somebody that can go into Ol Moed, in this case, we're talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. So, only the Kohen Gadol is a transferable position from father to son. Kohen Meshuch Mechama is not a transferable position from father to son. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we have over here seemingly is a significant limitation in terms of who can transfer position from father to son. And the Gemara now formulates its question, V'imisa. Now you're telling me that the Kohen Meshuch Mechama is wearing the Shmona Begadim. Really? So then, Mechze Chaze. So now the Kohen Meshuch Mechama, if he's eligible to wear the Shmona Begadim, so can't you stand to argue that on Yom Kippur, he's also eligible to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Now, again, not to be too confusing, by the way. When going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you don't wear the Shmona Begadim. You wear the Big Day Lavan. But what the Gemara is asserting is that once we see that the Kohen Meshuch Mechama is going to be on the same level, on par, in where he's going to be wearing the same Begadim, the Kohen Gadol, so what's differentiating him from the Kohen Gadol? And presumably the Braisa that just taught us that the passing on from father to son is only limited to the type of Kohen that can go, that's eligible to go into the Kodesh Kadashim, I don't get it. If the Kohen Meshuch Mechama is wearing the Shmona Begadim, he too should be able to go into the Kodesh Kadashim. And then the distinction made in the Braisa doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak HaChikamar Kol She'ikar Meshichaso Lo Omoid Yatzazeh She'ikar Meshichaso Lo Mechama. So the Gemara says, okay, what we're going to do is that we're just going to modify your understanding of the Braisa. Look, right now we're defending Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi says that the Kohen Meshuch Mechama too is going to be wearing the Shmona Begadim. And yes, in a pinch, we could use him to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. But the point the Braisa is making is, what is the main purpose of his appointment? So when it comes to the appointment of the Kohen Gadol, his main purpose is, you're there to function as a Kohen Gadol, and you're highlighted by the fact that you're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim Yom Kippur. That's your main occupation as Kohen Gadol. When it comes to the Kohen Meshuch Mechama, what's his main occupation? His main occupation is that he's the chief chaplain of the army. When they go out to war, he's there going to encourage the troops. That's his chief occupation. That's the distinction that Braisa was making. But not to say that the Kohen Meshuch Mechama is going to be excluded from the Shmona Begadim, not to say that he's excluded from going into the Kodesh Kadashim if necessary. We're just simply talking about what their chief objective, what is their main assignment as that position. Okay. The Gemara is still going to push on this. Meaning, Rav Dimi says that the Kohen Meshuch Mechama, when he does the Avodah, he wears the Shmona Begadim. The Gemara is going to really push on it. And the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Meshuch Mechama ain a Mesham Mishlo Barababa Kekohen Hejiv Lo Kishmona Kekohen Gadol. So as far as the Meshuch Mechama is concerned, what is he wearing? Well, he's not going to be wearing Dal Begadim of a Kohen Hejiv, and he's not going to be wearing Shmona Begadim of that of the Kohen Gadol. Okay. Now that's not how... So sorry. It's not helpful. It's a strange brisa, right? Because as Phil just pointed out, okay, so what are your options? Right? There are only two options. It's either four begadim or eight begadim. Well, he's not wearing either. Okay? So as much as as much as this is a question of Rav Dimi, because it is, because Rav Dimi says that he wears the Yishmona begadim, okay, but the Breisa also says, but he's not wearing the four begadim as well. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye basically reacts to the what seems to be impossible position now that the Breisa has just put us in. So Amalei Abaye, Elazar, Mashvisle, okay, so what is he now? He's not a Kohen at all? Meaning he's a ranking Kohen. So where do we land with all this? Okay, so the way Abai is now going to be explaining the Braisa in defense of Rav Dimi is that the Kohen Meshuch Machama again is going to be on par with the Kohen Gadol, and Mishum Eva, I'm sorry, Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva, Kohen Hedge Mishum Malam Mekores Velo Moridim. Now to have him put on the Shmona Begadim, so we've talked about this before. Now the Gemara is going to bring it up again. There's a sensitivity issue. Meaning that the Kohen Gadol is going to look over and see somebody else wearing the begadim, the Shmona begadim. It's going to create a lot more animosity than there already is. Meaning there already are high ranking positions, are the highest ranking positions. And now the Kohen Gadol is going to turn over to the Kohen Meshuch Machama and see him donning the Shmona begadim. It's just not going to go well. It's going to lead to more animosity. And so as a sensitivity to the Kohen Gadol, so therefore the Kohen Meshuch Machama, despite the fact that he could, and maybe we'll even add, he should be wearing the Shmona Begadim, but Eva is enough of a consideration where he's not going to wear that. And then to put on the Dal Begadim, no, you can't do that. In other words, he's a ranking Kohen. Malim Bekorish Vein Moridim. Once he's taken on that higher position, so he can't now wear Dal Begadim.
If they're trying to delineate the difference between this Kohen Gadol, why isn't that God, like other responsibilities to do what they can do, like,
Stay tuned. Your question is going to be answered. Stay tuned. Okay. So now as much as that now defends Rav Dimi, we have defended Rav Dimi, it still doesn't really help us. Meaning within the Braisa, so let's say the Kohen Meshuch Machama wants to do the Avoda. And he can't wear the Shmona Begadim, that's Eva. He can't wear the Dal Begadim because Malam Mekosh Vein Moridim. We all like solutions. How do you solve for this problem? So I don't have the answer according to this Braisa, but we have defended Rav Dimi. Amalei Rav Adarbava LaRava V'Hai Tan Deleis LeEva V'Lo K'Meshamish. So Rav Adarbava says no. This idea that he's going to be banned from putting on the Shmona Begadim because of Eva. So I'm going to say for you a lengthy Braisa, but you'll see the whole point of us going through this Braisa. This Braisa that we're about to learn clearly does not take Eva into consideration for reasons which we're going to articulate. And meanwhile, this Braisa over here is not having our Kohen Meshuch Machama wearing the Shmona Begadim. Meaning, once you take Eva out of the equation, if you can, so then of course you should be wearing the Shmona Begadim. I mean, that's basically what Rav Dimi is saying. I'm showing you a Braisa right now. Eva's not in consideration. And meanwhile, he's not wearing Shmona Begadim. Okay. And so all this is going to be posing a difficulty for Rav Dimi. And let's go through this really long braisa. Dvarim Shebein Kohen Gadol LeKohen Hedjo. So first the braisa starts off with, hey, let's give the basic differences between a Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen. We're going to skip the next three words. Number one, Kohen Gadol, Parah Baal Kol HaMitzvos, the Par Kohen Gadol, right? We're talking about the one in Vayikra Perek Dalet. If the Kohen Gadol were to violate an Avera, he would not bring a standard carbon chatas, like the rest of us, but rather we would bring a special carbon chatas. That's the par of the Kohen Meshuch. Okay. And the Meshuch just simply means he was anointed with oil. Par Yom Kippur, most of the par of Yom Kippur, again, exclusively in the domain of the Kohen Gadol. Let's go quickly because there are going to be 15 differences. I counted 15 differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjot. Number three, Asir Sa'ifa, that's a daily offering offered by the Kohen Gadol. Number four, Lo Porea. Rachmanis, if the Kohen Gadol is an Aval. So he is not to let his hair grow, meaning he cuts his hair despite that. And Lo Porem, he's not to tear his clothing, he's not to do Kriya on his clothing when it becomes an Aval. Ava Poremu Milamata Vejo Milamala. What he will do is he'll do a slight tear on the bottom of his clothing, as a sign of Avelis, but basically in a place that people will not see. Kohen Hedjot, however, is going to do Kriya, as a regular person would if he's an aval. Ve'in metame l'kravav. Also, a Kohen Gadol does not become tummy to his seven relatives. Kohen Hajer would already. That's number six. Sorry. That is, yeah, that's number six. Okay. I miscounted. Okay, good. I see my mistake. Okay, there are 14 differences. Anyway, Umitzvah Basula, Kohen Gadol is required by the Torah to marry a Basula. Kohen Hedger doesn't have to marry Basula. He can marry a woman who was with a man, i.e. an Amana. Umuzar Lamana, also, Kohen Gadol cannot marry an Amana. Kohen Hedger can. Umachzir Esa Rotseach. Also, with the death of a Kohen Gadol, the Rotseach can return. With the death of the Kohen Gadol, so somebody who killed inadvertently can leave the Ari Miklat. That's not true, obviously, by Kohen Hedjot. And number 10, Makriv Onain. He can offer while being an Onain, meaning in the event that that he lost one of his seven relatives and he has the status of being an Onain for that day, so he can offer a carbon in that state. However, he doesn't eat from the carbon. He does not receive a portion from the carbon. But nevertheless, he can actually do the carbon. He can actually be makriv of the carbon itself. Number 11, notzo cholek chelik barosh, takes whatever piece he wants. Number 12, makriv chelik barosh, and he can offer whatever he wants to offer as a carbon. This is again all obviously by the Kohen Gadol in distinction to the Kohen Hedger. Number 13, umishamish b'shmona kelim. He's going to be wearing the eight begadim. Number 14, upater al tumas mikdash v'kadashav. If in fact inadvertently he goes into the azar while being tameh, so he's not going to be chayiv a carbon. Meaning, obviously, he's not allowed to do it, but he's not going to be a chayiv a carbon. The Gemara in Shavuos goes through how we know this. It's basically based on a drasha. Anyway, and finally, number 15, v'chol avodas yom kippur meinuk sheres alabo. On Yom Kippur, he does all the avodas on Yom Kippur. Okay, v'kulan, okay, good, period. Not period, we're still in the middle of the brisa, but the brisa now, this is it. This is a comprehensive brisa going through all the differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjot. Now, all this is really good, it's just very basic information. We're, as far as our discussion is concerned, we haven't gotten to our point yet. V'kulan ohagas b'meruba begadim chutz mi paraba al kol ha-mitzvos v'kul ha-mitzvos. Over here, the Bryce makes another point, which is that, look, we know that the Kohen is anointed through Shemen HaMishcha, special anointing oil. We discussed it in Krisis, we discussed it extensively. We also discussed it earlier in our Masecht as well. So it happened to have been that historically there was a point in time where the anointing oil was put into Geniza. Yoshio HaMelech was the one responsible for taking the oil and putting Geniza. So after that, how is a Kohen Gadol going to be identified as a Kohen Gadol if, in fact, he's not going to be anointed with the oil? And the answer is very simple. He wears Shmoneh Begadim. The wearing of the Shmoneh Begadim, that's going to serve as his installment as the Kohen Gadol. So there is the term of Kohen Meshuach. He was anointed with the oil versus Meruba Begadim. He just simply wears the eight Begadim. So is there any difference between the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with oil versus the Kohen Gadol who was appointed by wearing the Shmoneh Begadim? Only one difference. And that's going to be the special carbon of the par, if in fact he violates an Avera B'shogeg. So only the Meshuach Mechama brings this special carbon, not the Meruba Begadim. Again, it's based on drashas. Let's move on. V'kula no'agas b'meshuach sha'avar. Now, let's say you had a person who was a temporary Kohen Gadol, meaning he replaced the Kohen Gadol, the primary Kohen Gadol became possible for whatever reason. So someone subbed in. And now, because he served as Kohen Gadol, albeit temporarily, he's going to have the status of being a Kohen Gadol. Therefore, is there going to be any difference between him and the standard Kohen Gadol? This is what's called the Kohen Meshuach Sha'avar. So basically, no, there's no difference. Chutz mipar yom kippur v'asir seifa. Except for those things which are fixed and appointed. The Siris Saifa is offered every day. The Par Yom Kippur obviously is offered every year on Yom Kippur. So because they're fixed and appointed, so therefore they can only be done by the original Kohen Gadol, obviously only when he's serving serving again as a Kohen Gadol and not the Kohen Sha'avar. Okay, again, all this is good. It's really basic information. We haven't gotten to the point that we want to We want to glean from this entire brisa, and here it comes. V'kulan ein nohagus b'mashuach mechama. Now, all these rules that we said were specific to the Kohen Gadol, and also shared by the Kohen Sha'avar, is not going to be true by the Kohen Mashuach Mechama with five notable connecting points.
This is all the same
brisa. That's what I said. It's a lengthy brisa. V'kulan ein nohagus b'mashuach mechama chutz mechamishat dvarim hamorim b'parsha. Now, as far as the Mashuach Mechama is concerned, he only has five points of commonality with a Kohen Gadol. Number one, lo porea, he doesn't do priya. Number two, lo poreim. Again, that's the allowing the hair to grow when he becomes an avel, tearing of the clothing when he becomes an avel. Lo matami lekrovav, cannot be matami to his relatives. Umitzuva lebesula, must marry besula. Umuzar al ha'almana, and it's prohibited from marrying an almana. Only on these points and these points only does he share common ground with the Kohen Gadol. And then, and a point of controversy is that the Kohen Mashuach Mechama dies, so does somebody, is a Rotzech allowed to leave the Arim Miklat? Up for debate. So a possible 6 point of commonality. But that's it. Now, in this Braisa that we just went through, Ad Kan Divrei Braisa, so what have we just established? So first of all, it's pretty clear. Kohen Mashuach Mechama is not wearing the Shemona Begadim. Not pretty clear. Very clear. Meaning that's not one of the points of commonality between the Mashuach Mechama and the Kohen Gadol. Okay, only 5 points and this, not one of them. He's not wearing the Shemona Begadim. That point's clear. Good. Also, what's clear in this Braisa, the author of this Braisa is not worried about Eva. Now, where did you see that in the Braisa? It's pretty simple. Because remember the Kohen Sha'avar? What is he wearing? Shemona Begadim. If the author of this braisa was worried about Eva, nobody else should be wearing the Shemona Begadim. Only the acting Kohen Gadol should be wearing the Shemona Begadim. So the author of the braisa is not worried about Eva. And so now we have found a braisa not concerned about Eva, and meanwhile our Mashuach Mechama is not wearing the Shemona Begadim. All this serves as a difficulty for Rav Dimi. To which the Gemara's response, Ki leisle Eva b'dekavasei, b'dezut minei isle. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. In other words, are we talking about somebody who's on par with you? The Kohen Sha'avar, the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, he served as Kohen Gadol. So when the original Kohen Gadol gets reinstalled back as Kohen Gadol, and he looks over to the Kohen Sha'avar who's wearing the Shemona Begadim, okay, but you know what? He served in my position. I mean, he served as an acting Kohen Gadol. Okay, good, I get it. But now, who else is wearing the Shemona Begadim? That guy? Right? The Kohen Mashuach Mechama? The Gemara's expression over here is great. B'dezuter minei islay. If somebody lower than you, or here when I say lower, right, perceived, but whatever. In other words, so when someone lower than you is now wearing your Shemona Begadim, now that's going to invoke Eva. Okay, good. So in defense of Rav Dimi, the Gemara has still defended Rav Dimi that really the Kohen Mashuach Mechama, at least in principle, should be wearing the Shemona Begadim. Either we have two braises now in the course of today's daf where we clearly see that he's not wearing the Shemona Begadim, but the Gemara's response to both of those braises is basically, yeah, but that's only because of Eva. But without Eva, in principle, he should be wearing the Shemona Begadim. Yes, Rabbi Abba v'kamer l'lash ma'ita mishmei de Rav Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Abba was sitting and staying over this entire sugya that we just went through, right? Basically, from the beginning of today's daftar up till now, went over the entire sugya, and he said over the name of Rav Yochanan. So now, basically, we've had it as Rav Dimi saying it. Now the Gemara is quoting, at least in the name of Rabbi Abba, that Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. Kohen Mashuach Mechama, he's wearing Shemona Begadim. Now, this is said by Rabbi Abba. Adrina Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi La'apayu. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, so silent protest to such a controversial statement. Right? They turn their backs to Rabbi Abba. Now, in a moment, we're going to ask the question, why don't they just simply say, we disagree? Right? In other words, we do that pretty often. And why can't they just simply voice their opposition? Okay, good. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. Igad Amri, now in a slightly different version of what we just went through, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amrua. So it was Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba who said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan, our entire sugya, and Vajrina, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Lapayu. And in the second version, same Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, so silent protest to that position. So now the Gemara says, look, Maskev l'Rapapa Bisham Rabbi Abba Omishum Yikar de Bekesar. The first version is better, the better version. It seems to be the more correct version. It's Rabbi Abahu citing this controversial position in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi's silent protest. Now, that version of the story makes sense. Why? So the Gemara fills this in with a detail. Rabbi Abahu, so he was politically connected, right? He was basically together with the Kesar. Now, what exactly that means? How did he? What political position did he have? And what gave him such clout? So offhand, I don't know. Regardless. In other words, for Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi to voice opposition, even though it's so funny, in other words, they're debating on halachic issues, on Torah points, meaning just because he has political clout, you can't voice public opposition against him. The answer clearly in the context of the Gemara is no, they couldn't. So fine, but at least I understand that version of the story. Ella Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Neimer Le Meimer Lo Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achi. In the second version, it wasn't Rabbi Abahu who made this controversial position. It was Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. So Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, who is he politically? Nobody. I'm being very clear. Politically, he's a nobody. So that means that if he says something controversial, as far as Torah is concerned, so we could tell him, Rabbi Yochanan never said such a thing. I don't know what you're talking about. So the second version doesn't make sense, because why wouldn't they just simply voice their opposition to Rabbi Chia Bar Abba? Okay, so basically the Gemara says the first version, that Rabbi Abba was making that controversial position, seems to be the more correct position. Okay, now that was all, the entire daf today so far, right, 31 minutes. That was all one sentence. Okay, a long one, admittedly, but that's all one sentence. Meaning, now, just to quickly summarize, so basically what we've seen so far in the daf today is that Rav Dimi takes this really controversial position that the Kohen Mashiach Mechama is wearing the Shemana Begadim. Okay, he actually wore it? Okay, open for a debate. Maybe he didn't, because it would lead to animosity between him and the Kohen Gadol, but at least in principle, he should be wearing the Begadim of the Shemana Begadim. That's, so far, what has been reported today in the name of Rav Dimi. And now, our second sentence of the morning. Ki Asa Ravin Amar. So now Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is now true to form of the Gemara. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael. Nishal Itmar. No. The Kohen Mashiach Mechama is not wearing the Shemona Begadim to do the Avodah. There's only one Kohen who's wearing the Shemona Begadim to do the Avodah, and that, of course, is a Kohen Gadol. Period. You will find the Kohen Mashiach Mechama wearing the Shemona Begadim, but only for one purpose, and that is She'ela. In other words, we need to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Kohen Gadol, for whatever reason, is unavailable. Maybe we're out on the battlefield. So under these circumstances, and only what I just said is impossible. Right? You're not allowed to wear the Begadim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We saw Shimon HaTzadik did so. The Gemara says that was an extraordinary circumstance. Okay, whatever. I'm still right in the basic point. for whatever reason, the Kohen Gadol is unavailable for She'elas or Vitumim, good. Call in the Kohen Mashiach Mechama. He'll wear the Shmona Begadim, not for Avoda purposes, but just for She'ela. In that regard, he could wear the Shmona Begadim. Tanya Namihachi, now we have a Braisa supporting Ravin, regarding Ravin's version, and this is obviously a much less controversial position, because the Gemara is going to spend very little time discussing it. Just all the Gemara is going to do is go to court of Braisa supporting it. The Braisa reads, Begadim Shekohen Gadol, Meshamish Behem, Meshuach Mechama, Nishal Behem. The Begadim, the Kohen Gadol uses to do the Avoda, the Kohen Meshuach Mechama is also going to be wearing it, not to do the Avoda, but rather for She'ela. When we need to ask Yom V'tumim. Okay, period. Okay, good. So that's Ravin's version. So and that seems to be a much less controversial position. Well, whatever. That's why I was trying to think of a scenario in which, in other words, we would use a Kohen Gadol if he were available. I mean, he wears his begadim all the time, but for whatever reason, he's unavailable. So we can use the Kohen Mashiach Mechama for this one particular purpose. Fair question. I don't know. I could guess, but I don't know. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzet Shoalan HaShoal Bifnei Ketzet Shoalan. Okay, so from here until the end of the perek, we're now going to be discussing exactly what the She'ela looks like. Meaning, okay, we're asking the Urim V'Tumim. So how does that work? Like, let's play it out. And that's what the Gemara is going to be describing. The Gemara is going to give a really detailed description of how exactly it works. And I say real detailed, We're not going to, you know, in other words, we're still going to have some basic open-ended questions at the end of all this, but this is it. It's certainly a really interesting Gemara, obviously not been put into practice for years, for millennia, but it's really interesting in terms of a way for us to ask questions that under normal circumstances we would never know the answer to, but, you know, questions regarding future, fate. And I understand, by the way, there are basic issues which I'm not going to be discussing in terms of, right, we're basically asking, is this going to be a successful campaign? And the answer is going to come. Meaning when you ask the Urim V'Tumim, the answer is going to come, which basically is going to be able to help us make decisions of, well, should we go through the campaign? Should we fight this particular battle? Okay, so obviously it's, whatever. It obviously speaks to, you know, questions of fate certain futures which are basically cut in stone. Tanu Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Ketzad Shoalin. So exactly procedurally, what does the Sheila look like? Hashol Panav Kape Nishal Vanishal Panav Kape Shechina. So the one asking of the Urim V'Tumim, so he's facing the Kohen Gadol. Or as we just learned moments earlier, could also be the Kohen Mashiach Mechama. Now, the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the Shemona Begadim, so who is he facing? So the Gemara says he's facing the Shechina. Okay, what does that mean? So the way Rashi presents it, Rashi says that what he's doing is he's facing the actual Choshen, which presumably means he's looking down. That seems to be the pshat. Not everyone is in agreement with Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, but anyway, just right now, I'll present Rashi. Hashoel Omer. This is what the questioner is going to say. Erdof Acharei HaGadud Hazeh. Now, it's funny, the Gemara is quoting a pasuk over here, because it happens to be that the pasuk is actually giving us a primary example of what it sounds like, what the question is going to sound like. But in the context of this Braisa, it works perfectly. Meaning, a simple question, a basic question, like, should we fight this particular battle? Now, the answer is going to be, go up and you're going to be successful. Now, by the way, obviously the answer could just as well been, don't do it. Or you're not going to be successful. It just happens to be that the example is given at the end of Shmuel Aleph. So it happens to be that the answer was Alei Vatzleach. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Ein Tzarich Lomar Ko Amar Hashem. Ela Alei Vatzleach. And Rabbi Yehuda over here just makes a small detailed point, which is there's no need to say Ko Amar Hashem. Because in the context you know, this is coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Shoalim B'Kol Shenemar V'Shalo. So you don't have to ask in a loud voice, right? In other words, you can ask you could use your indoor voice. And that's just fine. Visha'alo, you ask him, right? And the understanding is that only he needs to hear it. In other words, this does not have to be for public broadcasting. And velo mahar belibo. Now, at the same time, however, you can't just simply think the question in your head. You have to articulate the question. Shenemar visha'alo lifnei Hashem. Ella, what does this sound very familiar to? The Gemara here spells it out. Kedel shamar chana bitfilaso shenemar v'chana hi medaberes aliba. You know, just like Bechana Davins, the Gemara in Bracho says there are many halachas regarding davening and tefillah that we learn from Chana. One of them is basically, how do you say Shemone Esrei? Meaning, on one hand, you don't say it out loud. On the other hand, you don't think it. So basically what you do is that you pronounce, you articulate the words, but just loud enough so that you and only you can hear it. Okay.
So the shoel has to be a Kohen, then.
The shoel...
Because if the Kohen's wearing the kahuna, it's going to be in the Azara.
I do hear your point. I do hear your point. It happens to be that the last point that we're going to make on this entire discussion is that the people that are going to be asking are going to be either the Melech, or they're going to, or it's going to be the Melech, or it's going to be Mashiach Mechama, whatever.
Where's the Melech physically located that he can?
I mean, you can go. The Melech can go into the Azara. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the you saw up to a point can go into the Azara, right? Right, the first 11 Amos are typically the stopping point of Yisrael. Okay, you could be there.
But your questions are like questions of national interest, right?
Correct, correct. Absolutely correct. So the, I'm sorry, let's continue. Ein shoalim shnei dvarim ke'echad. Okay, you can't ask two questions at one time. In other words, it's one question, one answer. Okay, just simple procedural rules of how this works. V'im shal ein machzirin ela achad. Now, let's say you do ask two questions at one time. So you're still only going to get one answer, and specifically answer to your first question. Vein machsirin lo elarishon. Bryce says it very clearly. You're only going to get answered your first question. Vishinemer ha sigironi ba'alei ki'ila biyadom. Okay, hayeri sha'ol v'chulei. Okay, when David HaMelech was running from Shaul, right? That's a good description of Shmuel Aleph. There's a lot more to Shmuel Aleph. But anyway, a good part of Shmuel Aleph is David running away from Shaul. So it happens to be that he finds himself in this place called Ki'ilah, and this is in Perichov Gimel. And so basically, he had an opportunity to ask the Urim V'Tumim questions, and so he quickly rattled off two questions. One, who are the people of Ki'ilah going to be sympathetic to? Are going to be sympathetic to me or to Shaul HaMelech? Right? Pretty important question. Meaning that if Shaul in fact comes, are these people ready to just simply hand me over? And then he rattles off another question immediately. Oh, by the way, is Shaul coming? Okay, good. So those are the two questions that he asks, and he does it in succession, which we just learned. That's, you're not allowed to do that. Vayomer Hashem Yered. And the answer that he got from the Urim V'Tumim is Shaul is coming. Now, the Hamart.
He wasn't even king then yet. Was he king?
He was, right, he was anointed already at that point in time.
He was anointed for like a very long time.
Yeah.
He wasn't declared king for like...
Okay, good, okay. So, now the Vahamar Ne Machzir Ne L'Rishon. Now the Gemara is bothered because, okay, good. So we learned the rules that you can't ask two questions, and if you do, you're only going to get one response to the first question. And meanwhile, the response that he got was to his second question. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but I have an answer. David Shal Shalok Kaseidar. We turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Yeah, first of all, David asked the questions out of order. Now, you could say simply that, I know it's whatever. You could say it was stress. You could say it was, you know, look, he was running for his life. So, but he asked the questions out of order, meaning question number one should have been, is Shaul coming? And then the second question should be, and if he does, these people here in Ki'ilah, are they gonna be sympathetic to him or to me? Okay, good. So that should have been the answer. Ve'echziru lo kaseder. So that's why when the answer is given to him, meaning even though he asked two questions and he was answered, he's answered on what should have been the first question. Okay. Okay, and then, so David realizes, oh, okay, good, I got it, right? Learn my lesson, right? You're not allowed to ask two questions successively. You have to ask one question at a time. Okay, good. So then after having received the answer of, oh, now that I know Shaul is coming, then he repeats the question, And then the question was, are the people here going to give me over? And the answer is, yeah, they will. In other words, so Shaul is coming, right? That's one answer. And the second answer is, yeah, and they're going to give you over. So, basically, now's the time to leave. Okay, fine.
The
right. I know. But again, this is before the Beis HaMikdash was built. So, you know, things were a little more fluid back then in terms of where he could be. Okay. It's hard to understand this next part, but okay, I'll try. If you need to ask two questions in succession, you may do so. Now, I say it's hard to understand because clearly the example that we just went through, like, David needed both answers. So, okay, I'm not really sure what the situation would be, but the Gemara gives an example. Shenamar v'yishal David b'Hashem lemor ha'adof acharei agadud hazeh ha'asigeni. And the Gemara here gives an example by David. And this is the end of Shmuel Aleph, where basically he wanted to know, should he attack this particular army? And is he going to be successful? And Vayomala, Radov, Kiasik, Tasik, Vatsel, Tatsil. And over here, the moment needed both questions to be asked in succession. And because of that, the answers were given. Two answers were given. Okay, a rule breaker. The Alpha Pishik Zeres Navi. Now, I mentioned earlier, this really is it leads to just like very profound questions regarding future fate and so forth and so on. Questions which I'm not prepared to, I mean, it's a Daf Yomi, so I don't have to answer them. Even if it weren't the Daf Yomi, I still wouldn't be able to answer these questions. So good. So the Gemara says very clearly, if it's nevuah, so yeah, it's a window into the future, but it can change. The future is not set in stone. If it's Urim V'Tumim, that's set in stone. Meaning, whatever answer you heard from the Urim V'Tumim, that's what's going to happen. Okay? So, Shemar Mishpat HaUrim. So lama nikra shman urim. I'm sorry, kimishpat urim. That makes the point. Meaning mishpat. You know, when you go to court and the court decides, so that's it. That's called a decision. There is, under certain circumstances, there is an appeal process, right? It's a limited appeal process, but there is a bit of an appeal process. But generally speaking, though, whatever the court decides, that's it. That's the decision. So over here, same thing with the Urim V'Tumim. Okay. So, Lama Nikra Shmam Urim V'Tumim. Okay, now, they're called the Urim V'Tumim. Why are they called the Urim V'Tumim? Like I said a little bit earlier this morning, what is the Urim V'Tumim? It's so funny. In the Gemara, we never hear. The Torah never tells us what it is. The Gemara never tells us what it is. Okay, just one of those interesting points. So so why is it called the Urim V'Tumim? So Urim Shema'irim es Devrayim, Tumim Shema'shlimim es Devrayim. So Urim because it illuminates. And Tumim because Tam V'Nishlam, meaning that's it, whatever it says, cut in stone. V'im Tomar be'givas b'nyamim mimne ma'lo hishlimu. So the Gemara says, now there happens to be one occasion in Tanakh where we asked for Urim V'Tumim, and it didn't come out like the Urim V'Tumim said. Now that's going to be the end of Sefer Shoftim. Okay, as you move to the end of Sefer Shoftim, okay, by proxy, I go through Sefer Shoftim every year. my wife teaches Sefer Shoftim, fifth grade. So, so vicariously, I get to review Sefer Shoftim every year. I don't know it well, but whatever. It's one of the Nevi'im I have, a good working knowledge of. Not great. So the last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim, it's the worst. it's the worst. Prakim 19, 20, and 21. So that's all Pelegish Begiva. And, basically there was a Pelegish. It was a brutal rape. It was a brutal killing. The people that were responsible. So the people were living in Sheva Binyamin, and, the rest of the Klal Yisrael said to them, okay, take all the people that were involved in the crime and stop protecting them. And Sheva Binyamin said, nah. And it led to civil war and countless people died and a general excommunication of Sheva Binyamin. Okay, it really was a disaster. And as you move, it's so funny. As you progressively move to the end of Sefer Shoftim, it's like just like it goes from bad to worse, right? It immediately follows the incident of Pesel Micha. Okay, anyway, okay, not good. So as part of the episode of the civil war and the battle against Sheva Binyamin, so the question was asked by the Urim V'Tumim: should we go to battle? And the Urim V'Tumim answer was yeah. And it happened the first time, unsuccessful campaign. Second time, unsuccessful campaign. And only at the third time, then and only then was it a successful campaign. Okay, and the Gemara wants to know. So you're telling me that whatever the Urim V'Tumim say is an answer, that's it. Meanwhile, that's not it. So the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to know. So when it comes to v'im tomer b'givas minyamim mimnei malo ishlimu heim shelo bichnu im latzeach im lihinatzeach. So the Gemara says, because again you have to know what questions to ask. Meaning the question, should we go to battle? That really wasn't the question the first and second time. Should we go to battle was the question that was asked. Should we be victorious was not the question that was asked the first and second time. It's only the third round of asking the Urim V'Tumim after two unsuccessful campaigns. It was only the third round where the question was much more pointed. Are we going to be successful? Where the answer was, response was in the affirmative. So then and only then, were they going to be successful. Okay. Ketzes Nasis, Rabbi Yochanan, Ketzes Nasis. Okay. So, now, you asked the Urim V'Tumim, how was the communication actually done? Meaning, how did you get the answer from the Urim V'Tumim? So, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Boletis, Reish Lakish Amar, Midstar Fos. So, either the letters would literally, come out. In other words, when we say letters, what letters are we talking about? So, on the Choshen itself, so you have, the 12 Shvatim written on the Choshen. So the letters making up the names of the Shvatim that are written on the Choshen, so those are the letters that we're speaking about. So they're either going to be bolate. Now the bolate means they're going to be pronounced. Or the mitzarfos. They're going to combine. Now, exactly what this means over here, again, this is what the part I mentioned earlier. In other words, we'll get some clarity, but we're not going to get full clarity. Are Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish arguing? Or are they just basically highlighting two different aspects? Really unclear. Go through the Rashi. I'm going to encourage you to do so. I'm not going to go through it inside right now. We are behind in terms of time. But it's really unclear in terms of whether these are two different positions or they're just simply describing what's going to happen. Somehow the letters are going to basically light up. They're going to speak to you. And mitzarfos, like the letters are going to kind of move around on the choshen. Again, all this defies the laws of nature, but fine. That's fine. Meaning, obviously, you're getting a communication from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if letters are moving around the choshen, that doesn't bother me. So but the Gemara is very practical. The Gemara says, okay, so you're going to be receiving basically a message based on the lettering that's on the choshen. And the composite of letters are all the names of the Shvatim. Now the Gemara over here says, Loksi Buhutsadi. So first of all, go through every one of the Shvatim and find what letters are not in the names of the Shvatim. So you don't have to do the work right now. The Gemara did the work for us. Okay, so the letter Tzadi, and not in any one of the Shvatim. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov Ksiv Sham. Not only are the names of all the Shvatim written there, but also the Avos as well. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Okay, good. So Yitzchak gives the letter test is not in the name of any of the Shvatim, nor is it in Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Okay, great. So the Amar Vacha by Yaakov Shifte Yishurin Ksiv Sham. Again, Shifte Yishurin. Those words are also written over there. That gets us now to all the letters of the Aleph Beis. So the Kohen that you need to be wearing the Urim Tumim, so he has to have a little bit of Ruach HaKodesh. If he doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh, so then all this is not going to work. So not only is it a function of the Shemona Begadim, but you need also the Kohen Gadol to be a bit of a transmitter himself. Okay. Shari Shal Tzadik Ava Asalo Ev Yasar Velo Alto Alto, meaning that we do find that David HaMelech asks Tzadok. It worked. He asked Ev Yasar. It didn't work. So what does that mean? It means that you need also the right Kohen Gadol. Shenamar Vayal Ev Yasar Ad Tom Kol Ha'am. So the Gemara says, "Siyu HaMisayeh Ba'adayu." So the you need divine assistance, and that divine assistance, that basically the Kohen Gadol also needs to be a bit of a transmitter in terms of being able to provide a means, a conduit in which the message will come through the Urim V'Tumim. Okay. Vein Sho'alim El HaMelech. Now, who's going to be able to ask? So the Mishnah tells us who's able to ask. It has to be, as Ben pointed out earlier, it has to be of a national interest. So that means only a national figure can ask. So Menahan Emili, the Gemara wants to know, how do we know this? I'm a Rabbi, Abo, I'm a Kra. V'lifnei Elazar Kohen Ya'amod v'sha'alo b'mishpat ha'urim. So he's going to ask Zemelech. So meaning that if you look contextually over here, it's the end of Bamidbar. We're actually going to be reading this in a couple weeks from now in Shul and Shabbos. So this has to do with Elazar. I'm sorry. It had to do with Yeshua asking Elazar, like, should we go to battle against Midian? Okay, so, and Yeshua at that point in time is going to be taking on the role of Melech. That part's a little bit tricky. Meaning Moshe is still alive. Okay, but anyway. So who's the Melech? But we're learning Halacha. Meaning it could have to be somebody who is, at least somebody who's a candidate to be the king or the king himself. Chol b'nei Yisrael ito, zemushuach m'chama. Also, the Bnei Yisrael that together with him, the Gemara is understanding that's a reference to Mashiach Mechama, V'chol Eida, Zu Sanhedrin. So any one of those people who basically is a public figure, either a king, Mashiach Mechama, or the Sanhedrin, right, probably means the Av Sanhedrin, whatever the case is, so they and only exclusively they can ask from the Urim V'Tumim, Hajalach Bala Kohen Gadol, and so ends the end of the seventh parak. Okay, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow we'll start fresh. We'll start with the beginning of the eighth parak. Okay, so and I'll give an introduction to the eighth parak as we are going to be shifting topics. We're going to be talking about the Inuyim. It's Issa Veheter for the eighth parak. No longer we're going to be talking about the Avoda and Yom Kippurim. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Today, a really lengthy discussion in the beginning of today's daf, which covers basically the first half of today's daf. the Kohen Meshoch Mechama, is he wearing the Shmona Begadim? So Rav Dimi says yes. In other words, to do the Avoda. So Rav Dimi says yes, that's what he's going to be wearing. Now, even Rav Dimi is going to pull back just a little bit, meaning there is an Eva consideration. So for the Eva consideration, maybe he shouldn't. But in other words, in principle, that's what he's going to be wearing in order to do the Avoda. And a lengthy discussion in terms of whether or not we could defend this position, Rav Dimi. It's a very difficult position to defend, although the Gemara does end up defending it. Ravin comes in and Ravin says, no, the Kohen Gadol is wearing Shmona Begadim, but only for the Shelas Urim V'Tumim, but not to do the Avoda. To do the Avoda, he's going to be wearing standard Dal Begadim. But for the Shelah, the Urim V'Tumim, so you could use, if you don't, for whatever reason, don't have the Kohen Gadol, you could use the Kohen Meshuch Mechama for him to be wearing the Shmona Begadim so we can ask the Urim V'Tumim. Which then leads us to the second part of today's daf, which is the actual Shelah, Urim V'Tumim. Procedurally, what is it going to look like? What are the basic ground rules in terms of who can ask? How exactly are you asking the positioning of the two people? The question, the person asking, the Kohen Gadol who is receiving the question, the volume of how loud you should be or not loud you should be when you ask the question, how many questions you can ask, how many responses you're going to get, one question, one response. With exception to that rule. Why is it called the Urim V'Tumim? Okay, what exactly is behind the names Urim V'Tumim? How exactly does the Urim V'Tumim communicate this idea? Letters lining up, letters moving around. Okay, do we have all the letters of the Aleph Beis? And the answer, the short answer is yes. Okay, and then finally, the last discussion we had is who's eligible to ask. Basically, it's either going to be a king, a Meshuch Mechama, or the head of the Sanhedrin.